They came rolling in about 1:30 last night. And then that little latte that they had at that place was just, I finally made myself go to bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like laying on my pillow going, sleep, 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 go to sleep, go to sleep. But the more you say that, yeah, I should have done reverse psychology. I should have been, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. And I'm like, no. And the stubbornness in me would have been, no, I'm going to sleep. But God is good all the time, and he's really been, man, it's been an interesting week. Everybody have a good week? Yeah. It's been a very interesting week for Pastor Nikki and I. She was had come down with some kind of, I think her body was just saying, you're going to take a break for a minute. And so she was out for a couple days, wiped out. And you know, in our journey in life, you know, we have mountaintop experiences, we have valley experiences, and as we walk from faith to faith, and as we walk from glory to glory, we begin to understand that, you know, it's not all happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. That sometimes the fire comes. Can anybody identify with that? Anybody ever had a season in your life, whether it be even a morning? Anybody ever have a bad morning? Or a bad day? Or what we think would be a bad day? Or a week? Or a month? Or a year? Or years? And we begin to ask ourselves questions about why, you know? Sometimes we look and we say, well, God, why is, you know, we're trying and we're doing this and we're praying and we're fasting and staying in your word, but yet old knucklehead over there isn't doing anything of it, but he just seems to be blowing up with prosperity or whatever. And the Lord says, you know what, I rain on the just and the unjust. It's not for you to determine, but to trust me. Amen. Awesome words through worship today. I almost didn't even come and speak because everything you were saying was like on my notes. Because I had this great little message prepared earlier in the week, of which I was like, of course, you know, last week I was like, what are we going to preach about? Oh, maybe we'll preach about Easter since it's Easter Sunday. Might as well do that. And so what a great follow-up would it be than the appearances of Jesus Christ after that? That would go in the natural rhythm of things. But how many know whenever we go to his word, we can't just suppose or presume what God wants to say? But we got to go there with an open heart, and we have to just open ourselves up as vessels and say, God, just download what you're saying now for the now moment. And I don't know if it was the coffee I drank last night or what, but God was just like, I kept running across this block like that. No, not the road to Emmaus. Gosh, Lord, I'm all prepared for all that stuff, you know. And even this morning we came in and our computer decided to automatically update to Windows 10. Anybody have Windows 10? Do you have a hallelujah or you have a oh my on that? It was an oh my experience for us this morning. Thank God for Bill back there. Didn't you guys just love Bill? Bill is awesome. Thank God for Bill. He was on it. He's figuring it out. And I said, well, if we don't have slides today, that's okay. That's fine, you know. Because God was rearranging my slides at 2:30 last night anyway. It's okay. But it's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy week. During this week, there's been times when I'm going through the motions. And I'm believing God. And I'm confessing his word. And I'm praying. But as I walk around, I could burst out into tears any minute. Any minute. I walk around here. I was blessed on Thursday night. They had worship team practice, and my job was to hold baby Adelina, which was the best job in the whole place because she's so cute. And I was just holding her, and that's the most precious thing, my little grandbaby. And I'm walking around, and as they're worshiping, there's an anointing with the worship team. Even if they don't just come here to practice, they come here to worship. It doesn't matter what you play or what you sing. The heart of worship is where it's at. And so I'm walking around with baby Adelina and the presence of God, and I began to start to weep. And I'm like, man, why are you so emotional this week? Why are you so emotional? It's because with everything in my might, I'm holding on to everything God says. That's right. everything. And I know that my Redeemer lives. And the Lord began to speak to me late last night, and he said, you're almost like the like Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. They call him the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was mighty for God, declaring even in the face of adversity, even in the midst of captivity, he became so strong in his conviction. But he got to a point. And I want to talk about this point that he got to. I want to talk about the fire of God this morning. Can we talk about that? Yeah. Can we talk about the fire of God? Almost last night I was like, Lord, is this going to be a series? I mean, we could go for 3-4 weeks on this at least. Different aspects of what the fire of God is. But as he spoke to me about Jeremiah, he started to identify that Jeremiah, he was a weeping prophet, and he went through some stuff, but he was gifted. And this morning, I'm talking to some gifted people. Everybody I see this morning, you're gifted. You are gifted. Tell yourself, I'm gifted. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you're gifted. Tell somebody. You've got to understand that not only are you a gift, not only do you have gifts, but you are a gift to people. You're a gift to me. I keep looking at Miss Diana and Miss Marlene, and I see you, Angela, and I see you, Henry. There's something going on in that row right there. I don't know why. There's something going on in that row right there. I think the activity of God is happening strong in that area. I see life change. I just see the Spirit of God moving. And that's a gift to me. That's treasures in heaven. And so, as we look at that, the Bible says, stir up that gift that is in you. And don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. Before I jump to Jeremiah, I want to let's read in our Bibles in Exodus chapter 3 first, because I just want to touch on this just a little bit. There's two places we're going. They're both up there. But for now, I just want to jump to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And many of you are probably familiar with this passage of Scripture. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, talking about Moses. Just out there minding his own business, doing his thing, tending some sheep of his father-in-law, working for Jethro. It says in verse 1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Let's understand something about Moses here. Moses was over 40 years old at this point. Because we know that Moses had spent 40 years of his life in Egypt, living in Pharaoh's house as a ruler. By divine appointment, by divine destiny, we know the story. His mother had to give him up for fear of his life, but then by providence, God put him in a place where he was taught and educated and brought up proper and brought up with things, prosperity. But then Moses, as we know, he goes in and he kills one of the guards that was attacking his people. After learning who he really was, he let his anger get a hold of him. And then so he goes out into this place. And he starts to tend the sheep. He starts to understand who he was. He said, I know that I'm a Hebrew. And there's sometimes in our life where we have to understand, no matter what the providence of life was, no matter what the cards were dealt to us, that we are God's people. There comes a paradigm shift in our life when we go from who they say we are and who they say we're supposed to be or who they say we'll always be to I'm a child of God. And so he begins to, in that process, start to learn the ways of God. He's tending sheep. He's learning the compassion. He's learning the pastoring, if you will. He's learning the leading. Because little did he know that by leading sheep would prepare him to lead a nation of people into victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? And you may not know whatever you're doing right now. Let me tell, come on. Shoo! The Holy Spirit might shift the message right now. Whatever you have right now. That's why I push ministry excellence. That's why I push it. It's not about perfection. It's about excellence. That's why I talk about if you're on time, you're late. That's why I talk about promptness as a character quality of Christ. Whatever God has given you, you have no idea what he's preparing you for. Moses is out there leading some sheep, lonely, in the wilderness, taking care of them. Little did he know he'd be leading 1.5 million people out of bondage. Whatever God has given you, be faithful in the small things and more will be given to you. You can always test the Spirit. The Bible says test the spirits by what is given, even if it's a little thing, and how you react to it. Oh, that's all God wants me to do? Well, I won't do it because I'm better than that. Fine. You'll have that and probably less. You'll have that and probably less. You'll have that and probably less. Pastor Nancy will tell you, for 8 years I served as associate pastor. It's not easy being the second chair. Sometimes even if you're right, you just have to say, well, I'm not the pastor. He's the one held accountable to God. If it's a wrong decision, it's a wrong decision. My job is to support, honor, lift up, encourage. Even to my own hurt, I had to back the pastor up. Even to my own hurt. And God is showing that through that faithfulness, he's showing blessings coming from that. He who is faithful with the little things will be given much. And so Moses is in this place 40 years and another 40 years out in the wilderness. So by the time he even gets to leading the people out of Israel, he's already over 80 years old. These different portions of his life. But he has this encounter with this burning bush, which does not burn away. It's not consumed. It's not consumed. I want to ask you this, but before I do that, let's go to Jeremiah really quickly. Jeremiah chapter 20. We've got to go to Jeremiah chapter 20. When you get there, say amen. If you're not there yet, say help me, Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah called as a prophet to God, the weeping prophet. You never know what the Lord will require of you. You'll never know how the Lord decides to bring his glory through you. Sometimes his glory through you isn't so glorious for you personally. It wasn't very glorious for Jesus to be nailed on the cross at the time. And his desire is to fill the whole earth with his glory. His glory is the Son, Jesus Christ. So the more Jesus Christ can be brought out in our life, the more Christ-likeness that can happen in that area, the more glory is filled as he fills the earth with his Son, Jesus Christ, in you. And we see Jeremiah here. He's going through some stuff. You've got this leader who is appointed, Pashur, who's just just hammering down on the people of God. And hammering down on him. And Jeremiah's got a calling in his life. He's got a gift. He's got a gift to speak the oracles of God as a prophetic gift. He's a prophet. And yet, God has to tell him even, you know, don't even look at their faces, he tells the prophets. Don't even look at their faces. He tells some of them, he says, they're gonna persecute you. But Jeremiah here, look what he says in verse 7. Of chapter 20. O Lord, you induced me, or some translations said, enticed me, or some translations say, or persuaded me, and I was persuaded. God, you talked me into it. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. I am in a derision daily. Everyone mocks me. God, you talked me into it. You told me to do it. You told me to sign up for this stuff. You said, come follow me. And I did. But now look what's happening. everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted, violence and plunder, attacks. Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. The word of God. What he was doing was actually causing problems in his life. And he's saying, Lord, you did it. You persuaded me. And then I said, and many of us get to this place sometimes, verse 9, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Anybody ever get to that point? We all do at times. We all do. We're walking out this thing in life, but we're all subject to this thing called flesh. And sometimes we're like, that's it. I'm throwing in the towel. It didn't work. I've seen it time and time again. The follow-up, the discipleship process isn't, hey, come, and everything's going to be great and wonderful in your life. Jesus says, if any man desires to come after me, he must first do what? Deny himself and then take up his cross and then follow me. The discipleship process should start out like this. Hey, praise the Lord. You're a child of God. All hell and high water is going to break forth in your life. Are you still in? Are you for real? Or you just want to be there for the goodies? Is the sugar daddy who you came to? Or are you truly committed? Are you truly committed? And we all wrestle with that sometimes. I've seen it before. We're like, well, I went to church for a while. Yeah, I did that for a while. That's what we call it the D church. Well, somebody said something, I got mad, I hadn't been back to church since. Oh, were you serving man or were you serving God? Amen. Who are you serving? Who are you accountable to? I've seen it time and time again, even with the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I tried to function in my gift, but then I started to get some retaliation, so I've even seen it in trusting the Lord in your finances. When he says, bring forth the first fruits, the tithe, that's the people. I tried tithing for 3.5 weeks. And then I didn't get a Cadillac, so that must not work. Come on now. We've all been there. We've all been there. If we could see what's going on behind the scenes, if we could see what God is working on for us next week, next month, next year, if he says, if you'll just be faithful, if you'll just trust me, I'm the God that's got a plan for your life, he says. I'm the God who knows, he says, I'm trying to bring out my glory in you for my name's sake. That's what I'm trying to do. Just stay steadfast. Stay in it. And Jeremiah, even a prophet, used mightily of God, wrestled with that. God, I'm not even going to speak your name or nothing anymore. Fine, God, I quit. I quit. I ain't going to do it. Didn't work out like I thought I was. But what happens in the rest of verse 9? But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. You see, when the word of God gets in you, when the seed of God, he says, I'll watch over my seed, my word, to perform it in your life. When it gets in you, you might run, you might hide, but you're going to be miserable. Because the Holy Ghost, he can be a nag sometimes. He's going to come after you. And even in the times you're like, I don't know about this. I asked a question this week, and it was something I was contemplating, and then I was given a verse to meditate on. And I was like, well, duh, John, well, duh. I know that verse. I've preached that verse. That verse is the answer to my question. It's going to come. His word will not return void. It's going to come back. In the middle of the night, his word will come back. It'll come. You'll be sitting there running from God, and you'll think, and you'll hear the words, I know the plans I have for you. Shut up. You are the apple of my eye. Shut up. I told you I quit. Ever get like that in any area of our life? But Jeremiah says it's like fire shut up in my bones. See, to understand Jeremiah chapter 20, we have to go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. And just briefly, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Jeremiah chapter 1 in verses 4 and 5, he says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. I want to ask you this question this morning. Why? Why? You ask yourselves this question. Why am I going through this fire in my life? Anybody going through fire? If you're not, fine. You're getting ready to. Enjoy it while you can. I'm just for real. I mean, that's just what, you know. None of us have arrived. And if he's truly taken us from faith to faith and from glory to glory, then we've got to go through some stuff. Otherwise, the verse that says to know him, the power of his resurrection. Oh, we want that. We talked about that last week. But the fellowship of his suffering, we had the fellowship here. He said, take this. This is my body. It might cost you your body. Take this. This is my blood. It might cost you some blood, sweat, and tears. But God will do whatever it takes, won't he, Pastor Travis, to get you back in church. I'm not saying God tore your tendon. But, hey, I also say there's no such thing as coincidence. Pastor Travis said, Lord, please let me get to church on Sundays. I don't want to have to work on church. I don't want to have to work on Sunday morning, so I miss church all the time. He said, okay, go out there and act goofy on that. No, I'm kidding. Trip and fall, and then he was walking. He was walking. Why am I going through the fire in my life? And we, you know what? There was a retired missionary who teaches. He still teaches there, I believe, Miss Marlene, up at Vintage Bible College. And she would always tell us, because the class, whenever you get a bunch of Bible students together, everything is like, first of all, we know it all. Second of all, it's like, well, if it wasn't for Eve, then, you know, we wouldn't have this problem. And you get into all this kind of stuff, you know, like, you know, well, the problem with the church today is, and, you know, the problem with the world today is, and if we would just, and so she would always just smile and say, stop cursing the darkness and light a candle. Stop cursing the darkness and light a candle. You want the darkness to go away? Burn brighter than you've ever burned before. That's the only way. The light pierces the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not, the Bible says. If you want the darkness to go, start burning. Amen. Start burning. Amen. Let your light so, two-letter word that is so big, so shine before men, that they would see your good works and they'll glorify God in heaven. They say, I don't know how in the world this happened. I don't know why. That man right there is on fire. He should be dead by now. But all I know is that there must be God in this thing. And that woman right there, I don't know what it is in her life, but she's going through hell and high water, but she continues to praise God. She continues to be faithful. She continues to pray. She continues to worship. She continues to reach people. And with all that stuff going on, there's got to be a God. And they'll glorify your Father in heaven. He says to Jeremiah, and that he said that you're formed with a purpose. Now, we have to understand this. This is one of the apologetic questions that we get sometimes. And had somebody ask me the other day, they said, well, how do I talk about to my atheist coworker about there is a God? I said, well, one of the things that I've learned is that take your Bible and put it aside. Amen. You can't start there. Right. You go in there, yeah. But you can't start there. You can't relate to them because they'll just say, oh, that's whatever. Not that we want to put the Bible aside, but to relate to somebody who doesn't believe in God, you've got to come from a different approach. You can't say, well, the Bible says that doesn't mean anything to them. I said, think about it this way. Everything that is created has a creator that is greater than it. Does everybody agree with me? Anybody have a watch on? Somebody made it. Somebody intelligent made it. You come through the approach of intelligent design is one way. So if and do you agree? And so you ask them, do you agree with that? Everything that was created has to have a creator. And the creator has to be more intelligent than the created thing. So therefore, we can create things, automobiles, buildings. You know, we can even manufacture electricity, even though God was the one who did it in the beginning. The greatest power company in the world. And so, in that, what about us? With all that we can create, if we're a created thing, there has to be an intelligent design greater than us. No matter how smart we are, no matter how many PhDs we have, no matter how if we're Isaac Newton or whether we're Albert Einstein, there's something even greater than that. If you follow the thought through, it's got to be. It's got to be. So, if that's the case, in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, before you were formed. Now, he's talking to the prophet here, but this is God's letter to us. Before you were formed, I knew you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, everything that is created, follow that thought through, everything that is created has a purpose. And the purpose is for that, is that for which the Creator created it for. If somebody creates a watch, what's it created for? It's created to tell time. Somebody created an automobile. What was it created for? It was created to drive. The automobile was not created to toast your toast in the mornings or fry your eggs. Although you could probably do that in the summertime with it sometimes. So if everything that was created has a creator greater than it, and everything that was created for a specific purpose, and God says in Jeremiah chapter 1 that before you were formed, I knew you, I created you as a prophet, I ordained you as a prophet to the nations, then you were created for a specific purpose. And the specific purpose will never be outside of the Creator's intended plan. He didn't create you for anything except for His plan. That's it. You are to function as God's creation. You are to function. We are to function as God's, as for according to His design. God, what did you create me for? Now, we're a part of a lot of things. We're a part of families. We're a part of communities, housing communities. We're a part of a work environment. We have different spheres or circles that we live in, spheres of influence, if you will. But were we created, were they created for us, or were we created for them? We have to ask ourselves that question. See, whatever God put, and I'm going somewhere with this, whatever God puts together, He puts together for His purpose. So why then is Jeremiah saying, God, forget it. Forget it. It's because you cannot escape in your right mind God's purpose for your life. It'll drive you absolutely mad. It'll drive you crazy. You can't get away from it. Jeremiah said it. I was created to speak your word. And remember this, we are spirits who inhabit a body. And we are speaking spirits. And we are to speak according to our design. And the words that we are to say are the words of our designer. Amen? His word. His word is truth. His word is truth. Have you ever had a battle with, Pastor Nikki talks about doing the negativity challenge. By the way, how's that working out for you? It's not easy. It's not. It's not easy. That's why I didn't even do the challenge. It's like a New Year's resolution. I'm not even going to make it. I'm just going to get frustrated. Because we've got this me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity, that is always trying to wrestle against the spirit man. And Jeremiah's at that place. He's like, forget it. His flesh side is saying, it's too hard. I'm being rejected. I've got all this that's coming against me. But and I said, I'm not even going to do it anymore. I'm not even going to say it anymore. I'm not even going to preach your word anymore. But he says, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It's like fire shut up in my bones. See, God has to get... Now, when Moses... Just going back to Moses. God took Moses out of Egypt. And Moses had that burning bush experience. He saw with his own eyes this bush that was ablaze, but yet it was not consumed. See, God had to take Moses out of Egypt so that He could get Egypt out of Moses. That's why he spent 40 years there. The task that God has for you right now at this appointed time is so that God can get that stuff out of you. That's what it is. It may seem insignificant, but the Bible says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He's trying to get you into a place to get those places out of you. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. That's why I was talking about. That's why we, whatever task the Lord, if the Lord was to say, Sam, today I require of you to pick up every cigarette butt out from the front of the church. Well, I'm going to go talk to some people first. But I'm going to do it. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, because it might be cigarette butts today. But it might be a bunch of kids on our children's ministry buses, amen, that we're picking up next week or next month. What he says, whoever is faithful in the little things, I'll make you a leader over much. So I don't care what it is. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. It doesn't matter. Whatever the task, and do it with excellence. Whatever I do as unto the Lord. And so he had to take Moses out of Egypt to get Egypt out of Moses. And the task that God has given you today, whatever it is to work in and through you, shaping and molding you into the image of Jesus Christ. His purpose for your life is to fill this earth with his glory. And he wants to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it is. And so that's why Jeremiah is saying it's like fire shut up in my bones. Because the task that he has to come out. See, it's the gift that he has. Now understand this. The enemy of your souls, do I have that on a slide? The enemy cannot attack the giver. He can't come after God. Every good gift and every perfect gift descends from above, the Father of lights. That's what the Bible tells us. So God is the giver. But the enemy cannot attack God. How can you come against an all-powerful God, an omnipotent God? He can't even get close to him without his permission, let alone steal his stuff.
That's right.
He can't get it from him. So he cannot attack the gift giver. He can only attack the vessel in which the gift is imparted. But see, he's not omniscient. The enemy of your souls doesn't know everything. He only sees what's revealed because he's created as well. Just as you only see what is revealed. So the gift is hidden until it's put into the vessel. Once it is put into the vessel, it has now been revealed. You may not even know it. Your friends may not even know it. But in the spirit, the principality of the air, he knows it. And that's when it happens. What does he come to do? He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. He comes to kill. Like the parable with the seeds. Some went on stony ground. Some went on thorny ground where the cares of the life crept in and stole the seed. But some fell on fertile ground. The enemy is after your seed. Man, I'll go into a sermon series on seed. He's after the seed. That's why the Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. The reason that the church is starving to death is because they've been eating the seed. The seed was never meant to be eaten. You say amen till I check some tithing records. I'm telling you, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. The seed was meant to be sown, not eaten. The reason Duke Power is so prosperous is because we've been taking the seed that was holy and meant for God, and we've been paying our light bill, trusting in ourselves instead of trusting in him as Jehovah Jireh. The attack is always against the seed. I can't say it enough. I feel like Jeremiah sometimes. I'm like, God, it's shut up in my bones. Somebody told me one time, when you say it until you're sick and tired of saying it, then you finally said it. I'm telling you, that's the word. Are we going to be followers of Jesus Christ or not? And that's just, like I say it all the time, you guys know, it's not, this isn't like, you know, It's about the principles of God. It applies everywhere in your life. Talk to anybody who has functioned in perseverance in the principles of God, and they will tell you that thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. The enemy comes to steal the seed. The seed comes oftentimes as the gift in you. So once that gift has been imparted, the enemy cannot get it from God. He gets it from you. He can't attack God. He can attack the vessel. So sometimes when these things are coming in our life, you got to tell yourself, you know why it's coming? It's coming because you're gifted. It's coming because you're gifted. You ought to start praising God. We say it all the time, with greater levels comes greater devils. And let me tell you, that is the truth. That is the truth. With greater anointing comes greater attacks. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. I see people get started in ministry and they get all excited with the zeal. And then they step out. And what happens when you start to use the gift? The enemy tries to come and steal it. So I was talking to Sister Jackie a few months back about some stuff, and I just smiled and I said, welcome to ministry. Welcome to ministry. Because if you weren't doing anything for God, He's going to leave you alone. Hey, if your life is left alone right now, I'd start checking. Because if He ain't messing with you, you ain't doing nothing. If He ain't messing with you, you know what? I'll wake up. They say, put on the whole armor of God. When are you supposed to put it on? I'll sleep with it. I don't just cuddle up to Pastor Nikki. There's a sword of the Spirit between us. I better be careful with that one. Where's my notes? A shield of faith. That's why He says shield of faith. He says, put up your shield of faith. Your faith guards the seed. Your shield of faith. Your faith guards the gift. It's by faith. For by grace, everything in the kingdom of God comes by faith. You entered the kingdom of God through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Through faith. And so that shield of faith, He says, it'll quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The fiery darts of the devil. Some early Greek writers use that word. It's called belos. It's probably belos. It's probably how you say it. B-E-L-O-S. That's the word for fiery darts. It's an arrow. And in that culture, that arrow wasn't just, you've seen them on TV where they shoot the arrow and they light the end of it. It's got some cotton on it. Well, these arrows, this particular arrow that He's talking about was so long, and Pastor Nikki will probably get into that with the Armor of God Life Group. It was so long, it was a really long arrow, almost the length of a spear, and it was hollow. And they used to fill it with flammable material so that when it hit, it actually exploded. Sometimes when the enemy fires at us, it's exploding all over us. We feel that kind of fire on us. But He says, put up that shield of faith. Put up that shield of faith, because He's coming. He's coming after the gift. And the more you use the gift, you know what? I praise God. He's brought me to a point where I said, you know what? I praise God. We must be doing something in this city. We must be doing something. Because when all hell and high water breaks loose, when we have powerful worship services, when we have outreaches. Our first Friday was huge, guys. Our first Friday was amazing on Friday night. We had more people here that were being reached than are here this morning. And you start seeing that. Pastor Nikki was texting me this week, just different little things. She says, I know God's up to something because this God's doing something in so-and-so's life. I can't remember all the texts, but it's like, yeah. And it was reminders of what's going on. Right. It's reminders. And I liken it to the analogy of throwing a baseball at a bee's nest. You know, the bees are going to stay there nice and calm as long as you don't mess with it. But when you start using your gift, when you start functioning in your anointing, oh, you're going to stir something up. You're going to stir something up. You know, when we do get those calm times, we do get those seasons of rest. Somebody said one time, you're either going into a battle, you're in a battle, or you're coming out of one. But check yourself. Check and see what's really going on. So I start seeing, I said, you know what? God is changing lives. Yep. You know, I'm just hanging on going, God, with the enemy coming here and there, and that's why our intercessory prayer is so important. And we'll learn about that in the class that Reverend Levette is going to teach in a couple weeks. When you discern what's really going on in the spirit. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places, and everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So when those things come, don't get all up in each other's face. It ain't about them. Get on your knees and start praying, God, that spirit of anger that's on them in Jesus' name, that spirit of division in Jesus' name, make every effort, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. I told Pastor Vessel, I told him the other day or something, we were talking, and I said, you know what? We stand up for each other as leaders in the body of Christ, even if they were wrong. Even if they were wrong. I can't believe they did that. No. God's in the reconciliation business. We talked about that Wednesday night. He says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, this brother was wrong, but you know what? I still got his back. And he's still my brother. This sister over here, yeah, she shouldn't have said that. She was wrong. I'm not going to reject her or abandon her or put her out on a cross or say, crucify her. I'll take Barabbas instead. I'll say, no, yeah, she was wrong. But it's the ministry of reconciliation that we've all been given. You start working and functioning in that ministry of reconciliation, you might see some fire. But you can't help it. When you start seeing changed lives, when you start seeing people coming and bringing their Bibles, and that this time last year, I was thinking about some people this week, and I was like, this time last year, the world would have said they ain't got a chance. This time last year, the world would have said, what in the world is with them? But praise God, changed lives. The enemy cannot attack the giver. See, it's like this. If we are going to function according to His perfect design, and we understand that He's the Creator greater than the created, and whatever is created is for a specific purpose according to the Creator's plan, then we have to understand that His desire is for us to function at 100%. Anybody drive around with a car with a check engine light on? Anybody ever have an air conditioner that doesn't work? It's not functioning according to its design. It's supposed to run at top notch. Anybody have a car that won't start sometimes? An ignition switch problem? Anything like that? It's not functioning according to a watch that stopped, a lighting board that had a spirit in it Wednesday night. I guess we cast that thing out. The lights have been on all but day. Hey, amen. So if that's the case, then what about you? What about you? Are you functioning at 100% of your design? Of everything that He's created you to be? It's kind of like this. When I ask God, well, what does that mean, Lord? What does that mean to function at 100%? What does that mean? Does that mean I need to like tie this on my head all day long? Or the Bible says pray continually. And even as you walk back and forth to your car or up and down the hall or wherever you are, you're just praying, thank you, Lord, praise God. I don't take you out of the box and then put you back in. God, stay out. But what does that mean? He says it's like this. He says it's kind of like the difference between dating and being married. When you're dating, you set aside a time to go meet with the person. Once that time is over, you leave. But when you're married, even though you're away from that person, you're still with them. Think about it. They said it's almost like in the military. You've got the Army Reserves. I'm trying to talk my son Gabriel into getting into that. Where you go 1 weekend a month. And sometimes, 2 weeks? 2 weeks full during the summer. The reserves. That versus being enlisted. Being enlisted. Ready to roll out 24/7. On call. On the stand. On post. On duty. Even if it's not your hour, they can call up at any time and say, hey, we got to go. We got a mission to go do. It's the difference between that. It's the difference between ordering bacon and eggs. It's the difference between bacon and eggs. Eggs, if you ask the chicken or the pig, the chicken, he'll give you eggs, but the pig, it's going to cost his life. God is saying this may cost your life. He said, but I come to give you life and give it to you to the full, more abundantly. I come to give you life. Whoever desires to gain his life, he's going to lose it. So what do we got to lose? If any man gives his life, he will gain it. See, when the devil attacks me, When the devil attacks me, he just revealed that I have been gifted by God. He just revealed it. Even if you didn't know it, there's something he's coming after. There's something you got that he doesn't want you to have. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That's why I can say, it was good that I was afflicted. That's why I can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I bless your holy name, God, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And God, you've given gifts, and you've given them to men. And if the enemy's coming in, that must mean I'm doing something good. So I'm going to press on to the mark of the high calling like Jesus did. We talked about Jesus being the Word of God incarnate. You cannot keep the Word of God in the tomb. It has to be resurrected. It just has to be. He says, I watch over my Word to perform it. You couldn't, even if you tried, keep the Word in that tomb. And just like even if you tried, you cannot keep the gift of God, the anointing of God, the calling of God. You can't keep it. You can't keep it. It's going to come out. It's either going to drive you absolutely crazy, or you're just going to say, God, I surrender all. I'm in. I'm in. I'm signing up. Sign me up, God. Sign me up. See, God's plan from the beginning was to bring victory in my life through His Word. Through His Word. His plan from the beginning was to bring victory in my life through His Word. His Word is what? His Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became Word. Here's the deal. The enemy could not attack the gifts of God. He could not attack God Himself. But then we come to things like, man, these questions will probably come up in the Ask the Pastor group. Like, well, if the Bible says that God cannot be tempted and Jesus is God, then why did Jesus get tempted in the desert? Oh, the Bible contradicts itself. I'm done. If the Bible says, and His Word is truth, and we believe the whole counsel of God, if the Bible says that God cannot be tempted, and Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man, was in the desert, and He was tempted of the devil, what's up with that? Here's the deal. The devil cannot, the enemy of your soul cannot attack God Himself. But when Jesus stepped into that place, and He became fully God and fully man, that's when the gift was revealed. That's why the enemy can attack His man side. He wasn't attacking His God side. He was fully God. He was attacking the gift that was in Him. And how did He do it? This is how He brought the victory. Through His Word. Through His Word. Through His Word. He says, worship Me. Worship Me, the enemy says. Worship Me. Oh, we would never do that. Even though they're constructing an archway of Baal in New York City and hundreds of other places around the world, they're resurrecting the archway of Baal. We would never do that. We would never bow down to a graven image. But do we? He says, go into that land. He says, root out all the inhabitants, all the idols, all the things that take themselves and put in the place of God. In this country, we were talking this week about I think I was talking with Adrian and Amy about this. John Bevere's Honor's Reward. Why aren't the signs, wonders, and miracles seen in the United States like they're seen all over the world? Like they're seeing stuff, crazy stuff. Like God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why isn't it happening here? And the anointing of God is directly will directly function within the atmosphere of honor. And in our culture today, we don't need God to be Jehovah Jireh, because our job is Jehovah Jireh. Our job's going to provide, even if our job keeps us out of church. Even if our job keeps us from using our gift. Even if our job keeps us from walking in our calling. I guess I'm just too stubborn and rebellious. I don't let them tell me when to work. I'll let them know when I can, and if that works for their schedule. If not, I'll get another one. That's probably just the rebellion in me. But God can use that too. God can use that too. We don't need Him to be Jehovah Jireh because the job. We don't need Him to be Jehovah Rapha, our healer, because we can just go make another doctor's appointment. We can just go to the pharmacy. But in places where you don't have all those other things that take the place of God, are we going to Him first? Are we going to Him first? Is He giving us a word that says, yeah, I want to heal you. I want to heal you through that. If He didn't say it, why would I go there as a first resort? I mean, think about it. That's the culture that we're in today. But when we get a grip on His word, that He wants to bring, from the very beginning, He wants to bring victory in our life through His word. The word Jesus Christ, the gift that was in Him, was attacked. It was attacked. It was attacked. It was attacked to the point where I don't think anybody in here, and if you could do it, I commend you, could do what He did. I don't think we would have survived. I don't think we would have survived the lashes. Would we have even survived the rejection? Would we have survived the abandonment? Would we have survived the loneliness? Would we have survived the betrayal? Would we have survived any of that stuff? I don't know about you, but I got a splinter yesterday. I don't think I could even survive the crown of thorns. That thing hurt. But the victory was in His word. As He was attacked, come worship me, the devil, Satan said. And He says, thou. He used the word. The word brought the victory. The word brought the victory. He says, thou shalt have no other God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods beside me. He came at him with all these temptations. Every temptation represented the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The three things that God hates. Why? Because the enemy uses those to get to the gift. It's the curse of Balaam. He says, I can't get to them directly. I'm going to get them to curse themselves. How do they curse themselves? It's all through the Bible. It's through your word. The word has the power, the tongue, there's a power of life and death in the tongue. Yes. We curse ourselves all the time. Yes. Pastor Nikki and I have been very adamant about lately about trying to consciously watch what we say. If I'm really quiet for a while, it's probably because I'm filtering the things I shouldn't say. I'm not going to say it. I'm thinking it. I'm feeling it. I'm not going to put it out there, because once it's out there, I can't curse something without myself being cursed itself. I can't curse somebody, because those curse words have to pass through my flesh lips. And like the Koreans say, you can't smear mud on somebody's face without getting your hands dirty. It's through His word. And so I want you to understand today that whatever fire you're going through, start praising God for it. Start praising God for it. Don't curse the darkness. Light a candle. That should make you even more adamant. Even more adamant. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The song goes, even if blessings come like raindrops, you don't know what you're going through today, if it's preparing you. You don't know that the sheep that you're tending today is preparing you to lead 1.5 million people out of Egypt. You don't know. Worship team, come on up. The word that brings us victory is to understand that even if the lights get cut off, that my God is Jehovah Jireh. That my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. That I use His word. That's why we can speak and we can say, God, He says, if you bring your tithes into the storehouse, He said, have you robbed God? That's probably one of the most fearful verses in the Bible. Not that I'm afraid, but I have a holy reverence, understanding that God, if I truly say, you are my supplier, then I've got to reverence back to you just a portion of, it's all yours in the first place, just a portion back. But when he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for you, a lot of us have devourers in our life, and we're trying to put that fire out with our own strength. God says, I'll rebuke him for you. It's the curse of Balaam. He says, they're cursing themselves. It's the same thing in so many areas of our life where we curse ourselves. But we've got to understand these attacks of the enemy are like Moses in the looking at the burning bush. It's not consumed, but his eyes were fixed on it. There's something going on here. There's something in the midst of your fire. There is something happening in the midst of your fire. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we just know that you are God and God alone, and that your word is truth. God, we know this morning, Lord, that as Adrian was prophesying earlier, there's a fourth man in the fire. God, as she said earlier, Lord, you shut the mouths of lions. And we know that the enemy, the lion, he crouches at the door like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But God, we know your word is stronger. We know that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, God. We know that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Lord. We know that you are Jehovah Sikhenu, Lord, our sanctification. Jehovah Makadosh, our righteousness, God. We know, Lord, that you are all in all, our all-sufficient one. And God, we declare this morning that we are created for your design and for your purpose. And God, we recognize through your revelation, God, that anything we're going through in our life is an attack against the gift that is in this vessel. And so, Father, I pray your word over everybody in this place. That when the enemy comes in, then like a flood, you'll raise up a standard against it, and your Holy Spirit, God, will come in. And Lord, empower us to align ourselves according to our design. Lord, that your word would come forth out of our mouths with power. If there be anybody in this place, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I implore you, look, I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, pawned the t-shirt, got it back out of the pawn shop, then I pawned it again, then I never got it back out. I've wasted years of my life on the me, myself, and I, learning about all kinds of stuff, everything from astrology to New Age to religions of the East and stuff like that. And God finally got me to a place where I understood that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through him. Our finite minds cannot even comprehend the infinite plan of God. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense. But it's by faith. By faith. So I ask you this morning, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, to be a follower of Christ this morning, I invite you to come up to the altar and pray. I want to open up the altars this morning. We want to pray with you. We want to just celebrate being born again of the Spirit and starting an amazing, crazy, adventurous journey of a lifetime. And if you're in this place and there's been fire in your life and you know, God, you've got a plan, you've got a purpose for my life, God, you know the desires of my heart. God, you know that I know that you've given me gifts and things, but it just seems like the harder I try, I get two steps forward, and sometimes it seems like three steps back. If that's you in this place, you just want to come up here and pray for some encouragement. The Bible says it's iron sharpens iron. so one man sharpens the countenance of another. Did you know that to sharpen that iron properly, that sword has to be forged in the fire? So it's not just the man sharpening another man. It's the Holy Spirit fire coming in between that that'll sharpen. If that's you this morning, I invite you to come to the altar. If you have any prayer need at all, let's just stand to our feet as you make your way to the altar. Come. Come right now.
As the King of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, is my song. As the King of my heart, be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, is my song.
To know this, if you're going through fire, it's because you're gifted.